A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the match preview show ahead of Tottenham versus Liverpool this Saturday afternoon. Delighted to say, joined by Sam Walker and Lewis Aspinall to have a big old chat about that one. Gents, thank you for joining us. Sam, I'll come to you first. You've just been saying me off camera there. Really looking forward to this one. It's a big game for Liverpool. It's a big game for Tottenham. Two sides are in good form. The spirits are high, and it is a big test for Liverpool.
Yeah, it is. It's bizarre because we've reached that stage already in the season where the only other team I care about is City. Because just where we are in the league. And, you know, just with recent form, with, you know, we haven't heard from Klopp yet, but sounds like there's no problems, extra problems in the squad. It just feels a feel-good factor. And we're playing such good football. We've got some exciting players. And I like what Spurs are doing. And I like the way they're playing and how it'll gel with what we're doing. So I'm really excited for the game Saturday night. We usually do well down there. It'll be a tough game. I don't know. Usually I'm dead nervous about these games. Arsenal away, City United. But for some reason, I've got a real excitement about tomorrow. Like I'm anticipating something big is going to happen.
Absolutely. But just Sam just mentioned there, by the way, guys, just to let you know, we are recording this before Jürgen's press conference today. So if anything happens and comes out of that we don't speak about there, that's on us. But yeah. Listen, Jürgen decides that he changes the times of these press conferences every single week. So you've got to hope for the best when you do these. Lewis, I'll come to you first, mate. Thanks for joining us. Sam's right, Liverpool's record actually against Spurs over recent years has been very, very good. I think it's 2017, I think I'm right saying, since yeah. They last beat us. But I've just done an opposition preview with Flav from Fighting Cock that'll be out on Redmen Plus later, and he said this is the first manager they've had in a while who's like a front foot manager. They went from Nuno to Mourinho to Conte to Conte's mate at the end of last season.
Mason in between.
Bit of Ryan Mason and stuff. Yes, and they've all been like defensive minded teams, and I think that suited Liverpool a little bit. This is a Spurs that are going to come and try and play, and Ange Postecoglou's Spurs are going to come and try and play. So it's a different proposition for the Reds this time, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I think as well with Tottenham, losing Kane has been a bit of a benefit for them with regards to the way they want to play. I think when Kane's there, you're going to play a bit more defensive because you've got someone who can hold the ball up. You know, he's great in the box, very strong player who can damage opposition defences. Son, Brennan Johnson, Kulusevski, Maddison, they all are attacking-minded players who are very quick on the ball and can cause problems for the opposition. I said last night on stream, I think Postecoglou, the way he's playing, it's very reminiscent of Klopp when he first came to us. I think it's very, doesn't matter if we concede three, we'll score four. Like, you'll get at you. They're not afraid to have a go. And he said that when he came in. I'm going to play the same way of football every game. Doesn't matter where I am, what I'm doing, I'm going to get at the opposition and give them a go.
Absolutely. And Sam, yeah, I've got some good players. We'll speak about Spurs, we'll speak about Liverpool. Now, Maddison's been a bit of a doubt. He took a bit of a whack to his knee, but it suggests that he might be fit. Brennan Johnson's is unlikely to play. They lost Perisic. He's done his ACL. He's out for the season. So we don't know exactly what Spurs we're going to get, but in terms of shape, Lewis is right. They're going to probably be 4-3-3 without the ball. They do the inverted fullback thing when they've got it as well. There's no real surprise here against Ange Postecoglou's team. Like Jürgen always says, you know, when they do their research and they know sometimes you're going to get tweaked or you have to react. But I think Liverpool know what they're going to get out of Spurs. Yeah. They're going to want to keep the ball. They want to feed James Maddison. They want to try and feed Son in behind. They're going to play a high line. There's no real surprises, really. It does feel like two very similar teams and how they want to go and approach it. They both want the ball. They both got pace on the break. Mm. They both probably give you chances at the back as well. It's going to be a very interesting one to see the chess match in this one, isn't it?
Definitely. And what I like about Postecoglou saying, I'm going to play the way I play. And I hope he's right. I hope he hasn't spent all week planning for Liverpool, because that's what we get every week. Maybe City just do what they do, but everybody else definitely plans for us and how we
changes
play.
Yeah.
So I hope it looked like against Arsenal, he didn't, when he had another week off before that. He played the same way. Then they got caught out and probably would have lost the game if Jesus scores. But Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I like that. This is what excites me about the game, is that I think our press against them could be an eye-opener for them. It's going to be different level to what they faced this year. Mm. Energy, you know, what we've got in midfield and attack now. I just think, they play a bit like us. Maybe we're a bit of a better team than they are across the board, hopefully a bit more experienced. Them playing four at the back as well is not something we're used to. And the big thing for me, obviously with Johnson being out, it's interesting, but with Son playing in the number nine, where we've been punished by the likes of Son and other wingers, by the way, who tend to come in and score against us, Neto was a massive threat for Wolves, was they cut in and sort of hit the space between the fullback and the defender. Whereas with Son playing the number nine, and he's not an Antonio-like player, I actually think that might play into our hands, as long as Maddison doesn't have the ball with the opportunity to play it through the lines, because that's where you would back up Van Dijk, Konate, Matt, whoever plays, to deal with him in a one-on-one situation. Balls in the air, bouncing into him. He's not an Antonio type, is he? He's very much, I want to go in behind you.
Mm.
So yeah, I think it's going to be some interesting battles, but look, they're a good side, respect them. So let's just see what comes.
Yeah.
And on that, Lewis, it is interesting because Son has hit Liverpool before. Obviously, it's a different Tottenham. There's no Harry Kane there again. He's had success against us. But a lot of Son's success against Liverpool, I've always felt, has been those out to him runs, the diagonals behind that, and he's got in time and time again. He's been, how many times has Son been running behind Liverpool with one-on-ones with Alisson? Yeah. He's often scored them, occasionally he's fluffed his lines, but it does feel like he is now the main man. There's no Harry Kane. Son's the captain, he's the goal scorer, he's up front. Liverpool, he is the one that you've got to keep an eye on because he has caused those issues, albeit from a slightly different position.
Yeah, he's a brilliant, on his day, he's world class. I don't think anyone can match what he does. He offers something very unique, where he can play in different positions and he can go into any of them. He doesn't look any worse. You can play him on the wing, he looks brilliant. Through the middle, he looks brilliant. If I was him, I feel like he's going to maybe try and get a Van Dijk, if anyone. Because I said a few days ago, I think Van Dijk's pace is starting to go a bit and he's relying a bit on Konate to come cover him. So I feel like he'll be going for that side of the pitch where it's Van Dijk and Trent or Van Dijk and Gomez.
He just seems to want to be right to win, doesn't he?
Yeah,
if you think of Son, it does make sense. Again, it'd be interesting if Brennan Johnson is out. He played left wing the other day. Obviously, I mentioned before, there's no Perisic. So we'll find out. And Maddison, again, there's still a few doubts about them. So we don't know exactly what we're going to get, Sam. But let's flip over to Liverpool then. Yeah. Again, I referenced before, at time record, we're not 100% sure on any stuff. But what we do know is Trent's trained for the last few days. He's been back in full training for a couple of days now. Is he straight back in for you, do you think?
If Trent's trained for 4 days and he's fine, he's in the team. He's never seen anything like Trent before. I still think he's the best right back in the world, only because he's the best footballer that plays right back. So therefore, by default, he's the best right back in the world. Do you know what I mean? It makes sense, doesn't it? I just think Gomez is brilliant. The only reason why he might not bring Trent back in is if he wants to balance the pace out on either side. So if you've got Van Dijk, who is quick, and Robbo, who's got a bit of pace, and then you've got Matip and Trent on that side, you're asking for it a bit. If Richarlison plays on the left, you know, it's not as much. He's quick, but he's not ridiculous. Like, Johnson's actually much quicker. And Son will be playing in the middle. So if he plays Konate, you might see Trent. If he plays Matip, you might see Gomez. Just purely horses for God. And because he's just come back from injury. But look, if it was me, you just play your best players. Let's flip it this way. If Kevin De Bruyne was available after 3 weeks out for Man City, the type of role he plays for them in terms of creating, he's going back in that side straight away without thinking twice. So Trent Alexander-Arnold is a 24-year-old athlete who's not usually injured. He's probably been given a few extra days as well, by the way. You just get him back in the side, in my opinion.
I suppose the next question is kind of what Sam just touched upon there, Lewis, is the other centre-half. So we know Alisson will be in goal, Robbo will be left-back, Virgil van Dijk's playing. Now there's a two at centre-back, so he's got Konate, but he played a lot of minutes against Leicester in the League Cup. Obviously, Kwanzaa played, had a really good game there. Joe Gomez had a little niggle, but apparently he's fine. It was just precautionary. He's got Joel Matip. Like, there are options there for Jürgen. What would you do, first of all, rather than what you think Jürgen's going to do? Who would you play alongside Virgil there?
Oh, Konate, 100%. I think the way he played against Leicester, he looked like the leader at the back.
Yep.
He's so fast. He's so physically strong. And we saw last season, at times, his head started to go a bit. If he made a mistake, his head would drop a bit. He'd look a bit like there was a mistake in him. Doesn't look like it now. Now he just looks composed. I think the year with Van Dijk alongside him has really matured him, made him into a world-class defender at this point. And I think the form he's in, the way he's playing, dropping him would not make sense. I think Klopp would probably agree, and especially against the fast Tottenham side who are going to look to get at us, you need that pace at the back.
I tend to agree. I think, Sam, would you be in the same boat, Ebu, for you?
Yeah, I think just the fact that he played midweek doesn't necessarily mean it. And we saw Diaz Nunes play back-to-back games.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Yeah, he didn't play against West Ham, so he's been brought back in nicely, hasn't he? Canate missed Wolves while he was on the bench. Kane played 10 minutes, then played, what was it, 80 against Lask, game off against West Ham, two games. It's perfect. Like, the way we're handling the squad now, and giving them still minutes midweek, but it's been absolutely brilliant.
Because we've got the depth to do it now. 100%,
we've got two teams, mate. We've got two good teams. Our second team have beat Everton, I'm telling you. So I think I hope he goes. I just think we see Liverpool's strongest side available now, which I believe we will.
Absolutely. Then let's talk about what is Liverpool's strongest side. I suppose I'll ask that, would you? Because let's move into midfield then. McAllister has been almost been the Premier League number six, really, hasn't he? It's been chop and change elsewhere. And obviously started in last, he had a really good game against Leicester. There's an argument to put a DM in against Tottenham, especially if James Maddison's fit. He's almost, I know he kind of plays as an eight, but he's a number 10. You get very, very few number 10s in the world, and it's just whether you want a bit more, if you want to be a bit more defensive against him, you could use Endo, you could use Bacetic, but that would mean either dropping McAllister or moving him further forward. What do you think the plan should be there?
Well, look, I think Endo was brilliant second half, by the way. I think he really understood what he was supposed to do. And I think we're probably just a month out, maybe an international break away from seeing him in the first team. I think he just needs to understand a little bit more what we're doing. He's a tough role, isn't he?
Yeah.
But the other side to that is, I think the midfield three we've got now is brilliant. I think Jones is just really... He hasn't just continued from last year. He looks like, I'm just a Liverpool footballer now. End of conversation, rubber stamp. When I'm fit, I'm in the first 13 players at Liverpool. And I think he is. So I just think that three will just continue to grow. McAllister's played the double pivot before for both Argentina and Brighton. I think he knows what to do. Every game he'll play in the six, he'll get better. I also think with Maddison not being the most physical player, I know they've got two big lads who play with him at times, but because he's not the most physical player, I think it helps us. Whereas if you look at what West Ham had, some strong lads in there. Look, if Basuma and Saar play for them and they're on the front foot, that might be different. But I do think I'd back McAllister to be able to deal with, and he'll know Basuma as well. I think it'll just be the three that are just growing together as a team.
Curtis,
Szoboszlai and McAllister, yeah.
Do you think that's what it'll be as well? Would you go wrong with that, Lewis, as well?
I agree with Szoboszlai and McAllister. I think the only one I'd maybe question a bit is Jones, because like you said, they're very, if Basuma and Saar start getting forward and start causing us problems, we might need someone with a bit more physicality, and I think Gravenberch might be the one to do that.
Do you think? Yeah,
I think he's great going forward at the moment, but if Trent as well is going to be coming into midfield in that inverted role, you're going to need someone who can go back and also help defend that area, similar to like what Wijnaldum used to do. And I think Gravenberch might be the one to drop into that pocket or help us overload the midfield and just stop Maddison altogether.
Absolutely. Curtis did play a lot the other day as well, so yeah, so did Gravenberch. So we'll find, he swung around at right back for a bit, but I'm the opposite. I think Jones and Szoboszlai are definite.
And then
it's, does he go Endo or McAllister? I think he'll go McAllister, I understand it, but I do think there is a case for an Endo or even a Bacetic, because I think if Maddison plays well, Spurs are very, very dangerous. If you can not shut him down, he's a really good player, but if you can make it really difficult for him. Now, McAllister can do that, don't get me wrong, he's not bad at it, but you might want to be, and to be fair, with the criticism I've got, Sam, of Endo, I say criticism, it's an observation, is that he is a bit slow.
Yeah, definitely.
Maddison's not going to kill you with pace either, so it might not be the end of the world there. So there is an argument for both.
Oh yeah, 100%. And same with Gravenberch. I think he's a very talented player, by the way. Two starts, two assists, and he looks like he's every bit the Liverpool player, doesn't he, in terms of his progression. But I think just on that point, I think with him, it's just, again, it might just be a month too early. You know, we might go to Man City and have Gravenberch, McAllister, and you just don't, you know. I think Curtis just knows what he's supposed to do. It's interesting you talked about Wijnaldum, because I actually think Curtis is quite close to him in what he does, just in terms of he doesn't lose the ball very often, takes up good positions wherever Szoboszlai is. He's kind of pivoting him on the other side quite nicely, presses well. I think there's a lot of that in there. I'm the same with Stay. I think the decision to be made at the moment would be mainly Endo in there or not. I just thinking maybe a little bit short, and playing midweek's not the end of the world, because you'll see a lot of, I mean, Tottenham obviously haven't got these games, but you'll see a lot of teams, like Arsenal made two changes the other day or something like that. One of them was moving one from up front to left mid or something like that. Yeah. So teams are having to play two similar teams who are in Europe, who are competing at a much higher level or in a stronger group, like Brighton. and having to keep the same team. So I think we're blessed. He swanned around at right back for a bit, done 80 minutes, then went off.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I think he'd be all right.
Maro in the chat said he'd go Endo, McAllister, so obviously he'd be leaving out Curtis Jones. Dave said I'd even consider Curtis as a DM. McAllister is not the DM.
Okay.
So I think, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I think he'll go McAllister, so obviously like Jones. I think I'd be thinking about Endo if I had to. I do worry about Maddison. Let's move on to the forward line, Lewis. I'll start with you. Mo Salah, please. That's not even a thing. It feels, if Tottenham are going to play the high line, there's two ways about this. You can play a Gakpo and use your wingers to get to do the Firmino, Mane, Salah thing. Yeah. You go. Mm. Or the flip side is you can say to the number nine, who loves running in behind, go and have a little go at them, to Darwin. Mm. What do you think he does up front?
I think Nunez needs to start this.
Yeah.
I think you look at Tottenham's back line and it's quite weak. I mean, Udogie is a good player, but Van de Ven and Romero, they can be got out. We saw that against Arsenal.
Van de Ven's rapid, I would say that, but you are right, you can get him behind him.
Yeah, that's right. He's still fairly new to the league. Yeah. I think if this was last season when we had midfielders who couldn't do what we needed them to do, Milner, Henderson, you'd play a Gakpo to support them.
Yeah.
But with the midfield they've got and the energy they've got, there's no reason Nunez can't be constantly trying to get in behind, causing them problems. And I think the fear he puts into defenders, they don't know what to do with him. I don't even think he knows what he wants to do half the time. So start him, and then alongside him I'd say Diaz, purely because I think he's got a good track record against Tottenham. I think him against Pedro Porro.
Yeah, there's a few. Who's their left back space?
Udogie.
So don't know much about him.
You think Salah? He's been good. They've been okay, but you can't get at them. And I agree. It does feel Sam. I think Salah and Diaz are actually nailed on.
Same.
They're going to play. It's whatever he does up front. I don't know what you am with Lewis. I think I would go Nunez. Maybe the fact that he didn't start in midweek as well maybe points towards that. But in a team who let you get in behind them, it does feel like Darwin could be a really good option.
Yeah, it does. And look, I didn't think Jota played very well the other day, but he scored. So that's what Jota's got in
that's
him.
Jota's game.
and I thought Gakpo was brilliant throughout the whole game, to be honest. I think he got his goal, looked sharp, should have scored again, very unlucky in the first half. I just think when Nunez comes on, and when Nunez plays, in fact, and the fact that you've got Jota and Gakpo to bring on, it's not like you think, we could do it just being tight and then bringing Nunez on for the last 30. You can go out with Nunez now and then bring on two quality footballers as well. So I just think, I think the balance of our side, Nunez, Diaz, potentially Salah, stretching spares, creating space between. We saw what the Hungarian beautiful man did midweek. So I think there's so much positivity in there. And playing Nunez, stretching their line back, making them drop 5 yards deeper, creates space for those kind of goals to happen, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the flip side, if they try and push up and condense the space,
Trent over the top.
Oh, mate, it's set up for us. It's dead interesting to see what Spurs do. If they just go and do the same thing again, it's wild. They'll have to have a really good game because it's set up for us to just...
Alex here in the chat says, Diaz, Nunes and Salah should be the front three for the big games.
That is the set.
But Luke goes away. Luke says, I'd go Gakpo to start with and then Nunes if there are some tired legs. There is a thought to that, but I think, given that they're going to do what we think they're going to do, I don't think it would be mad if Liverpool do go a bit more direct as well, Lewis. Yeah. Like Tottenham won't. Tottenham very, very rarely. They don't want to go long anymore. They used to give it to Kane, he'd hold it up, and then he'd do that thing. They're a bit different. They want to play through you. I wouldn't be shocked if Liverpool do go and be a bit more direct. And if that's the case, Darwin has to be the man, doesn't he? Really?
I think we need to, because I think if we concede in the first 20 minutes, as we've been prone to, it could be a nightmare, honestly. And I agree with the comment there. I mean, Nunez coming on when they've got tired legs. We saw against Arsenal, Tottenham looked leggy towards the end because they don't have a bench capable of bringing anyone on.
Especially with the injuries.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the only player they can really bring on is Richarlison.
Who's probably going to start.
Do you reckon, yeah?
Well, they've got to because Johnson's not going to play.
If Johnson's out, then he might go Richarlison. Move Son out. I don't know. It's a tough one.
There's the other kid called Solomon, is it?
Yeah, so they've got
Kulusevski.
So who's their bench if Richarlison, Son, and Kulusevski and Madison start?
So they've got Richarlison, Solomon,
then
Højbjerg, Skip, Dyer.
None of them.
So my guess is, I don't think they play Richarlison left.
Don't you?
I think they'd probably go Solomon on the wing.
Interesting.
Because he's not going to move Son. I don't think Richarlison's.
Do you not think Richarlison's more fitter for the left? No, didn't he play there for Everton? And
yeah, he could. Yeah, you're right. There's plenty of ways to do it. But like I say, they'll be desperate for James Maddison to be fit.
That's it's like it. But the thing is, if he does play and he's not 100%, is he going to be able to do the 90 anyway?
Yeah.
And if you remember what happened against Newcastle, I know we had 10 men, which was wild, but we are our team and West Ham. We didn't improve. We improved because of the legs, not because of the players. But we were able to sustain the quality for 96 minutes. With Spurs having no subs, Dyer's not coming on and changing the game. Neither's Højbjerg. Neither's Skip.
Emerson.
You might have one player who up front who might add a bit of energy, but it's like bringing Lucas Moura on back in the day. It's not going
to
do nothing.
Well, you've got players who have gone from playing a very defensive system where they don't have to move much to run, and don't stop. And we score the most goals towards the end of the game. So I think when their legs start to go, that's when we can maybe really get at them and cause them major
that might
problems.
Be when you, that could be just the time, couldn't I suppose? Yeah. Liverpool's bench is really strong, Sam, because we've debated there what the team's going to be. And either way, you mentioned that team I played against Leicester or against last, good players on it. You know, Gravenberch won't be in this, probably won't start. Mm. Elliot, probably again, you mentioned Ender before. Two of Diaz, Jota, Nunez,
Gakpo
aren't going to be on the pitch.
One of Gomez and Trent.
It does suggest that if Liverpool can keep this one tight, and like I say, a lot of people in the comments said, we'll probably just win 3-1 again. Liam, I'm not going to lie, I think it's 3-1. We seem to love that score. And it does feel like one of the reasons the 3-1 is a thing is that we can outlast teams a little bit. Now, I'm sick of Liverpool letting the first goal in and not starting well.
Yeah.
And Tottenham have shown that he can score in bunches, so you've got to be careful about that.
Yeah.
You know, 1-0 down for about 15 minutes could be 2-0 against Tottenham because they are that good. But it does Liverpool feel like they've got the legs to get to 90, 100 minutes if it is that, because the bench is so strong.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, like you say, about outlasting teams, which is why when you're thinking about scores, which we always talk about at the end of the show, but it's hard now to go 1-0 Liverpool. 1-0 is mad with us. Mo Salah on his own can be 1-0, you know what I mean? Let alone the other four unbelievable players got. You know, Elliot buzzing around off the bench is brilliant when he comes on. He's like a bee, isn't he, with quality. You know, he makes the challenge before Endo makes the lovely pass to Sobers. Like, it's Elliot's strong challenge on about the 80th minute or whatever it was, you know, to play the ball, you know, to win it back, and he's played 80 minutes. We're full of energy, we're full of competition. The vibes in the squad looks really positive. Like, I think, we don't want to be going 1-0 down. We've conceded 3 or 4 stupid early goals. I think Spurs is one of those games, a little bit like West Ham, to be fair, where we will be switched on. I know Trent made the mistake against Newcastle, but, you know, even against Chelsea, we were switched on for the first 20 minutes. We were on it. We were on. And I think we know we've got to be here. Everybody will be sharp. You know, don't take any stupid chances first 15. That crowd will be great. But if we are on top or we score first, it will dull down. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's just the way it goes. So, yeah, big opportunity for us. I think I'm really ready for it. I look forward to it.
Suppose, well, there's a title, mate. At the moment, we're not quite sure what Liverpool season's going to be. I think we'd all agree it looks like we're going to have a really good season. You know, we haven't even touched upon like Dominic Szoboszlai and the impact he's had. And he's fucking brilliant, which helps. But it feels like at the moment we're on course for a good season. Liverpool go Spurs away, Brighton away.
Yeah.
If the obviously there's the Union game in the middle as well. If Liverpool can win those two league games, I think all of a sudden it goes from, oh, right, oh, this is an improvement to, oh, my God, Liverpool could win the league. Yeah. I think these are two massive games, aren't they? And again, away a good Spurs side, haven't they, you know, one of the four unbeaten teams in the Premier League so far. If Liverpool can go and win at Tottenham, I think all of a sudden eyes and eyebrows and ears start pricking up. I'm like, oh, hang on a minute, these are for real. That's the sense I get anyway.
Yeah, 100%. And it's happened the past few seasons. I think it was a couple of years ago we went top going into Christmas when we beat Tottenham. It's happened a lot of times. And I think just as big as it is a period coming up for us, City have got Wolves, Arsenal, Brighton.
Chelsea, United, they've got a really tough October.
No, Rodri.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, Rodri, exactly. And that's
their weakness. We're back to the whole of Man City again. Where's this come from?
Yeah. But yeah, so it's, you know, it's just as big for us as it is for anyone. I think we can easily get 6 points out of this. Brighton in particular as well, they don't like it when they've got all the possession, so we know how to play against them. Tottenham, it's going to be end-to-end, it's going to be goals galore, but we can get at them, we can beat them. And like you said, we've got the squad capable of doing it, where if we sustain an injury, you know, fingers crossed in this game, we don't, we can just bring someone in for the next game, and we've got capable players who can get us 6 points from this. And beyond that, there's no reason we can't think, right, City are going to drop points eventually. The way we keep going, we could easily get to the top and stay there.
I just think it's going to go in this, and I just see a plan out.
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, we've already talked about looking into next week. I think Brighton have got a problem with Marseille away on Thursday, but that'll come. We'll talk about that next week. For me, this game's the big one because they're unbeaten. They've just gone and got a draw to Arsenal. They've beat United at home. They're probably considered one of the top four or five teams in the league at the moment. They've gone out the League Cup early, stupidly. Shows their squad depth, I think. So they haven't got much to play for till January, apart from consolidating top four. This game's massive because if they do lose, they'll drop out the top four, and we'll go, you know, top, second again, whatever it helps us. But it's a big marker to go to. Went to Newcastle and won, but people have question marks about Newcastle. Got a point at Chelsea. People question that and question Chelsea big time, and rightly so. Going to Spurs in this mood and winning would be a real statement of intent. Like I said, I think this is the game, because I actually think Brighton will look after himself with the Europa League coming in.
Yeah.
So yeah,
do you think they'll win?
On the weekend, I think it'll finish Tottenham 2, Liverpool 4.
Wow, that's some game.
But I think we'll control the game. I think it'll just end up looking wild.
Yeah. What do you think, Lewis? How do you see this one going?
Similar vein, but I'm saying 3-2.
I'm just going to say 3-1 again, because it's the odds on favour, isn't it? At some point, you've got to just, history is instructive and you've got to go for it. But I am very respectful of Tottenham. I am. This is not the same Tottenham that we're used to playing, where, you know, the whole Spursy thing. I think they're in such good spirit, Sam, that's, you know, you used to always think against Tottenham, oh, well, same old Tottenham. You know, you just give them a slap and they'll bend over. This Ange's Tottenham, it does feel a bit different. The mood's different there. They're playing really good football. They like the manager for a change because they've hated the last few. That place can't. I was there last year when we won 2-1, and when they scored, it rocks that place. It's a very loud stadium. It's not going to be easy for the Reds, but it feels like we all trust them. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, and it's the ability we've got. Like, it's. Have you seen the video flying around the Trent and Sobers, like, whacking the ball at each other in the gym? And it's like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's about now. We've got players. I keep saying this show after show, the technical ability of our team's just improving. I think it's a real peg to get this. I think it's a proper notch for the bedpost, shall we say. If we go and win at Spurs, a big stadium, on a Saturday night, a few beers in the fans, maybe before the game, so get them up for it. And I just think, I think it's a massive game, but I think Spurs' confidence and the result last week might actually, say, hurt them, but they might be a little bit naive in this. I think we know what we're going to. I think they'll come into it flying out the traps. And for that reason, I think it could play into our hands. Look, when they beat City, they had Nuno in charge, Mourinho sitting back, Conte, and they have to play a certain way because they know they can't go toe-to-toe with City, and it works. It's the two styles gelling. You know, this is like a boxer. You know, Deontay Wilder wants you to come out throwing big bombs at him so we can just knock you out. He doesn't want a defensive mover. That's what Liverpool and City don't want either. What we want is someone to come out, push the lineup, and go on, let's play, because we beat you at your own game. And that's kind of where my score prediction comes from.
Absolutely. We'll see how it all pans out, guys. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks to all you guys for tuning in for the match preview. If you're not watching this live, do leave your thoughts in the comments section below. Let us know how you think it's going to go at the weekend. Who would you start? What score prediction? All that kind of stuff. So if you listen to this as a podcast, you can get involved in the socials as well. In terms of the game itself here on Redmen, you will have Paul and Chris in for the watch along. So come and join the guys Saturday afternoon. 5:30 kickoff. So they'll be live about 4:15 or so with the team news. We're doing centre match build-up show there, and then of course the watch along from 5:15. So get yourselves involved, have a wonderful weekend, and yeah, let's hope Liverpool can go and beat Tottenham. See you all later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.